Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for all you do for us. Not just salvation, if that isn't enough, but all the support you give us inside, our emotions, our physical support, all the things that you do for us that many times we overlook or just miss. Lord, I pray that today we would be reminded, and Lord, that you would come through the sermon that you've given me, that you would, your voice, your word, your spirit would move through this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as what normally happens to me all through the week, stuff starts rattling through my head, and it's always amazing to me, amazing grace, amazing that God provides so many things, and just when I think that it's preacher's block or I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, it's kind of like I quote, I don't know if anybody's ever watched Cake Boss, you know. We used to watch them a lot. Now I don't watch them because it's the same old thing. You know, they get to this one part and then it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. And that's kind of the way he gets into. And so this week, I'm running through my mind, encourage one another. It kept, you know, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another. And so, what are the words that we're to use to encourage each other? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1798, in your pew Bibles, 1 Thessalonians, and I gotta make that more pronounced. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, that's something else. Chapter 4, starting in verse 13. And it says, brothers, we do not want you to be in ignorant about those who fall asleep, to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left, till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And so, as I looked at this, it was encouraging one another with the words that, you know what, this life will eventually end. And there's something more for those who believe. And so we shouldn't have that same upset and depressed and the feeling of hopelessness that the world has over death. The world has a difficult time with getting over death. I see people who can't let go. Grief throws them into depression. They have a hard time functioning. They go into seclusion. They can't find any joy in life. Well, this scripture tells us that the reason for our hope is Jesus. That we're going to be caught up with Him, and if we aren't caught up with Him, if we die, fall asleep, as the scripture calls it many times, we're going to be with Him then too. So it's kind of this winning proposition. He's coming back. He will take all believers to be with Him forever. Okay, I don't, none of us really can fathom forever, because we have a beginning and an end. We're finite, and we think that way. we have jobs in the end and we get another job, and you know, we have all these different things that happen in our lives, and then we see when we go to a funeral, it ends. And so we can't fathom forever. But forever is where we'll be with the Lord. And then I want you to go to into 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5. It says, "Now, brothers, about the time and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Interesting, we had a great illustration of that. Emily just had her baby. And it was kind of interesting because Franz would tell me, he said that Renee was in the church here and all of a sudden she's zipping out of the parking lot, tires squealing and everything, and Franz said, "She must have got the call." Immediately, it happens. And that's what he's saying here. He says, it's going to happen so fast. And it's going to be at a time when everybody's going, "Hey, peace, man. This is cool. We're in good shape." You know, it doesn't mean that the United States is going to be all peaceful and everybody's going to love each other and we're going to be hugging each other. That's not what it means. It means peace and safety means that we're not going to suspect it. We're going to be living our lives, doing our thing. And Paul continues and writes in verses 9 through 11 of chapter 5 here. He says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him." We'll tag on forever, because we know that from the first part. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, again, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing." So He still wants us to encourage one another with these words, that this life isn't it. We're here for a short time. We're here for a reason, but this is not it. So this brings us to the question. It's like the commercial. You know, I couldn't help but think of the commercial, "What's in your wallet?" Now everybody knows what that is. You know, when I say that. But the question is this. Who's in your heart? The key to peace is available to everyone. That key is Jesus Christ. I want us to go to John chapter 16, 1645 in your pew Bibles. 1645. John chapter 16. Chapter 16, starting verse 20 of John. In here, what we see is Jesus is talking to the disciples, and He's sharing about His death, basically. And in verse 20, He says, "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." Again, He talks about a woman giving birth to a child. Interesting, I didn't plan that. And all the pain of childbirth, and all of a sudden it comes joy when she sees that baby alive and kicking. He goes on and he says, verse 24, "Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask whatever ask you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I've been speaking figuratively, my time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but speak plainly." And he goes on and he talks about these things. I want to jump to 31. Says, "You believe at last," Jesus answered. A time is coming and has come when you'll be scattered, each to his own house. You'll leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. And then he says, I've told you these things, all these things. I told you about the joy you're going to have after my death. You're going to have joy. It's going to come after that grief. But you're going to find that joy. But also, he says, you're going to find peace. I told you all these things so that you can have peace, because in the world you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. You see, he's telling us we're going to be scared. We're going to hurt. We're going to have trouble standing up. But he's overcome the world. He's going to give us peace. We're human. We are going to feel pain. We're going to feel sorrow. We're going to fear and be depressed. But Jesus said we can have peace even in the midst of trouble because of him. He overcame the world. In Hebrews 12, I have up on the screen, and I want you to look at that scripture. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. You know, the witnesses that are surrounding them is all the people who have lived by faith. You know, chapter 11, you know, if you look at Hebrews 11, it's all these people who lived by faith. Some of them were tortured and killed before they saw salvation. But he says in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, the key is fixing our eyes on him. You know, he went to the cross, but did you notice what it said? It said that he went to the cross and with joy. He endured the cross because of the joy he knew it would produce, the result of it. Now, let's put ourselves, we're not going to the cross, probably not. But what is the joy that we can hold in our heart and not worry about the stuff we're going through here? Being with Christ forever. That's the joy that we hold in our heart. We fix our eyes on him. And the joy in our heart is because all this is going to pass away. We keep our eyes on him. You know, anybody that runs a race knows you keep your eyes on the prize, on the finish line. If you start looking around, you're going to get off track. You're going to trip. 2 Peter, I want you to go there, 1855 in the Pew Bibles, 1855, chapter 3 in 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3 and starting at verse 10. Again it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. You don't know when. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth will and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth, the home of righteousness. What kind of people ought we to be? Should we be moping around, angry, depressed, crying all the time? Yeah, and I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. Things don't hit us. Interestingly enough, if you know, on the 25th of this month, will be 5 years since Shauna passed away. That's weird. 5 years. Now, I could be moping around. I could be all depressed. And not saying that it doesn't hit me at times. But we keep moving forward. Jesus is the key to peace. We're not to keep looking at the past or looking at ourselves and woe is me. He's given us a purpose. And you'll know that purpose if you've given your life to Him. Your pain, your hurt, your sorrow, your depression, your anxiety, your disappointment, all that works together for good. That's what Jesus told us. That's what Romans 8 tells us. It is all things work together for good. You know, there was a time in my life that I was trying and trying and trying to do the right thing and striving with all my heart and soul until I crumbled. I cried out to God and I said, you know, why? God, I just give it up. I'm done. I'm not doing anything more. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm done. And I heard a voice just like we're standing here, just like somebody talking to me. He said one word, finally. I said, what? What do you mean, finally? Now, finally, you'll give it to me. I've been waiting for you to give up because you've been doing it all in the flesh, doing it all on your own, doing it all because you want the credit. Because it really was. I wanted to be the one known as, you know, I did it. I succeeded. Yet I failed in my strength. And I found out that I needed God. I needed His Spirit. I needed to give it up to Him. Once I gave it up to Him, once I released it all to Him, everything fell into place. It was just crazy. It was almost too simple. I learned a valuable lesson that day that I need to give it all to Him right away. Don't hold on to things. We think that we're doing a service. We think we're helping God. We're not. We're called here to do a certain thing, to share the gospel, to serve Him. But He is the only one that can do it through us. We need to open up and just let Him flow through us. It's like a guy I knew, he was a preacher, and he'd pull out a straw from his coat. I don't have one. I didn't think that far ahead. But he'd pull a straw out of his coat pocket, and he'd show that straw to you. It had one of those flexible ends. And he said, we're supposed to be like a straw. Flexible and open. You ever sucked on a straw that's plugged? It doesn't work too good. You know, a seed gets stuck or an ice cube or something gets stuck in the bottom and you can't get anything out of it. We need to be the same way. Open. Flowing and flexible. Let God flow through you. I'd like us to close with a word of prayer. Let's all bow our heads. Father, I pray that this message has meant something to us. That some of us who have been struggling, and maybe it was a death in our lives that someone close passed away, and we've just been not able to get past it. Lord, I pray that You show us how. That we open our hearts up, that that we let You flow through us. We fix our eyes on You. That we let the past be the past. That we move forward. Maybe it's something else, physical thing. Maybe it's stuff going on at school, or even teachers that are hard to get along with, or people that we have in trouble with. Lord, I pray that we don't turn it inside. We don't get angry. We don't get all torn up over it. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. In this world, things are going to happen. Wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters, things caused by people, shootings, all kinds of things that are happening in this world, but it is supposed to happen. Because this world is falling apart without You. All these things are going to pass away. All these things are going to burn up. One thing will never go away, and that's You. And when we stand before You, Lord, I pray that we stand before You as believers, that we trusted Jesus as our Savior. And the words we hear from You are, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, I pray that if there's somebody that has not made that decision and has not given their lives to You, that they right now would ask You to come into their lives. Just pray, "Jesus, come into my life. I believe in You. I trust You. I give You everything. I open up, and I just want to be like that straw, open, flexible. Let Your Spirit flow through me." And for those of us who are older Christians, Lord, that we pray that same prayer. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your life. Make us who You want us to be. Lord, now we commit this final song into Your hands, and also as we prepare for a meal, we thank You for the food and for all the fellowship. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a final song. It's actually a CD song we're going to do. And if you want to stand and sing, "And Great is the Lord."